decided to join us in worship this morning. As we come in and get settled, I would like to ask you, we'd like to get a record of your attendance this morning. On every pew, there is a pew pad. If you don't see it, you may be sitting on it. It is underneath you. We invite you to take this pew pad out. This is a way for members and guests alike to let us know that you were here this morning. Well, we ask our guests to take that and fill it out completely, name, address, phone, and email. Check the appropriate boxes and send it down the pew. And then we ask our members just to put in your name and use the rest of the information just for any kind of changes. If you've got the same address as you had last Sunday, don't worry about putting that down. But this allows us to get to know who was here. We ask you to send it down to the end of the pew. And so that way everybody can sign it. When it gets to the end of the pew, we ask you to send it back so our ushers can pick those up a little bit later in the service. We appreciate you filling this out for us. It is Mother's Day today, an opportunity for us to gather together and to celebrate the ladies in our congregation. We want to make a few announcements about that for our children. We are having children's time a little bit later in the service, right after the musical offering. So we want you to come on down. I'll be down here. We want you to come down and see me. And then we will have something for the ladies in our church. So children, come down and see me then. Reminder, we will not have any Sunday evening activities. We will have no Sunday night activities tonight, but Youth Sunday next week. So we hope that you will make plans to be here for that. Reminder to our children who are completing first grade through sixth grade, we are having children's camp this in just about 3 weeks. We are headed to Camp Canoga. There is a sheet of information that's on the Welcome Center desk. We invite you to pick those up. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we know we have several that are here for the parent-child dedication. We would like for you to raise your hand if you're a guest with us this morning. We have a packet of information we would like to give to you. This packet, you've already given us information about yourself. We wanted to give you a little bit about what College Park is about. This packet has things about our story, who we are, things we do. Inside is also a newsletter, things that go on with the life of our church in the next few weeks. So we are glad that you have decided to join us in worship this morning, and we pray this time will be a blessing to you. It is time for us to begin our day of worship. We do this every week with our invitation to share in worship. It is a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin, and I invite you to stand now. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic, and in his temple all cry glory.
Amen. You may be seated.
Oh,
pray with me. Father, we have come into this place to glorify you and to lift up our praises to your throne of grace. So, Father, at this time, we commit ourselves to you. In this hour of worship, remove the distractions. All those things that we've been thinking about that could keep us from focusing our attention on you. You have a word for us this morning. Our life cries out for answers. On good and bad days, we know that we need you in our lives. And so we commit this time to gather our hearts together as the body of Christ, to worship your name. May everything that's done in this place be done for you and you alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
It's called parent-child dedication. We know it as baby day. It's a wonderful time of celebration. And this morning as we come together and as we celebrate these parents, these families, and these children, I want us to hear from God's Word these verses from Psalm 127. Particularly appropriate this morning because it uses the masculine. It says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And also a familiar passage from Mark chapter 10. It's an interesting placement of this scripture. Go back and read it in its total context perhaps this afternoon when you get home. But as the disciples and Jesus are interacting, in verse 13 it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him to touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. This morning I want to invite you to be a part of a time of dedication. In your order of service, there should have been an insert that says a covenant of dedication. And we'll be entering into a covenant with these parents and with these children. Someone invite the parents and children, if you would, stand here with me. We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God. Who brings these children for this holy purpose? And what do we affirm about these children?
We affirm that each one is made in the image of God and is a child of God by creation. That each one is loved, included in the experiences of his congregation, and that they are God's gifts to us in whom we take delight.
As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage? Tell them. Superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus the Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the fountain at the well who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about the worship and mission. What will we hope for in these children? Confirm the heritage which we will pass along and come as an adult. Do you, as the parents of these children, assume your primary responsibility for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations? And do you, the congregation, pledge to work together, creating a nurturing Christian environment for these children?
Yes, we do. They belong to us.
Then may God be with us and help us. Amen. We have several items that we'd like to give to the parents and the children. And obviously, unless we have a prodigy among us, they will not be able to read these yet. But we want to give them something to remember this day and to look back and something to teach them from. And for the Snipes family and for Daniel, buddy, you grow up and read that, okay? Your precious child. Bless your heart. And for the Tuttles, we don't give this to Jesse. It's for you, but Mom's going to hold it for you. Is that okay, buddy? Yes, it is. Bless your child. And for the Woods, hey, big guy, how you doing? You were speaking to me a minute ago, weren't you? Yes, you were. Mom's going to hold on to your Bible for you, okay? All right, is that okay? Is that okay, baby James? All right. Precious children, we're going to give you a chance to see them following our prayer of dedication. Kim is going to come and sing. And as she sings, they're going to come down this aisle and across the back. Sorry, balcony. You'll have to kind of peer over there. They're not doing the balcony lap up there. But they'll get to the back and they'll return back down this aisle to give you a chance to see parents and children as they come together. So let's join in a word of prayer together. Dear Father, we rejoice with the smiles and the noises, the things that represent children. Father, we come to you and we ask your blessing on these families, upon these children. And we know that each one of them is a gift from you. And although they come to us in many different circumstances, Father, we think about Daniel and the early weeks and days. And Father, how much prayer surrounded this child. But also the other two boys that are here, how much prayer has brought them to this place. And Father, we pray that you would continue to be with them, to be with their parents, grandparents, and all that surround them. Help us as a church to embrace them and to care for them, to teach them your ways, and to model what Christ looks like for them. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's also an awesome privilege. And we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Going to invite all the children to come and join me down here. Let me sit right there. Oh, here we come. Coming from the balcony, coming from everywhere. Yeah. Hey there, sweetheart. Huh? She's there. All right, sit down. It's good to see y'all. Are you ticklish? Yeah, there's some more coming. Oh, I did too. How did you get sunburned? Were you outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Baptismal. Okay. It is great to see y'all this morning. It is great to see you. Is today a special day around your house?
Mother's Day.
What did y'all do for your mothers this morning? Anything? Not yet.
I made something for my mother.
You made something for your mother? I hear.
Me too.
You did?
But I gave her a book at my house.
A book? Okay.
And I gave my mom a plate.
Okay. All right. What'd you do? Okay. Breakfast in bed. Wow. That's it. Yeah, I know some of our college students got up.
Breakfast in my bed in the hospital.
You did, and I came to see you.
I gave my mama a new brush.
A new bike?
Brush.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a good gift. Well, you know, what are some things that mommies do for you?
Help us go to sleep.
Help you go to sleep, yeah. They cook food, yeah. Take care of you. Give you love.
They read your stories at nighttime.
Yeah. Do you ever have nightmares and mommy comes in and kind of calms you down and takes care
sometimes
of you?
Mostly my dad does.
Oh, okay. Mostly your dad? Yes, sir. Keep thinking. Okay. You got it. Yes, ma'am.
She washes our clothes.
Washes your clothes. You know, there is my Bible. That's exactly what I need. Thank you.
Read you Bible stories.
They do read you Bible stories. Now, do you have some ladies that teach you Sunday school class too? Not only your moms, but some ladies, and maybe they do mission stuff. Maybe, you know, there are a lot of ladies in our church. Did you see those babies? Did you see those babies just a minute ago? And can you believe you were that little? One time you were that little. And your mommies and all these ladies in our church, yes, sir.
Not again.
Not again. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. Now, we have a lot of ladies in our church who take good care of us. You've got Sunday school teachers, right? You've got people in the choir. You've got people who teach you choirs on Wednesday night. And this morning, what I want you to do is, number one, if you haven't gotten anything for your mom, I'm going to give you something to give to her. Okay? We're going to give a flower. Here, let me see. Let me reach over here. I'm going to give everybody a flower, and then I'm going to tell you what to do with it. Everybody grab one. Everybody grab one.
I know one.
Okay. There you go. Aren't these pretty? There you go.
They're real.
They're not fake like that egg was a couple weeks ago, aren't they? Yeah.
Oh.
I knew that it was fake.
Here's some more. About to break, hold it at the top. There you go. Oops. Who else needs one? Does everybody get Matthew? You got one? There you go, Harrison. All right.
I don't have one.
There you go. Oh, your pastor's on. There you go. All right, what I want you to do, okay? I want you to, you see how pretty that flower is?
It is fake.
It's not fake, it's real. Can you smell it? Smell the flower. Can you smell it?
It's real.
Yep. What I want you to do is I want you to take this to your mommy and say, thank you for taking care of me and loving me. I love you, and I want you to have this flower, okay? And then I want you to go back to where you were sitting. Then we're going to have some of our youth are going to come help pass out flowers to all of our ladies in the church to say a thank you to you for how you mother us and you take care of us and you look after us. So if you have somebody who's giving you a flower, it's okay. And we want you to have this as a gift from our children's ministry, okay? Can we pray together?
I have something else.
I know you do. What you got?
What?
Will you pray with me?
Uh, um,
child.
Then we are Jesus' child. And let's pray. Let's pray to Jesus. Can we do that? Okay. Can you close your eyes? God, we love you. And we thank you for the mothers in our life who love us and take care of us. And Father, we want to just let them know this morning that we know that you love us just like our mothers do. And we want to give this gift to our mothers to say thank you. And we ask, Lord, that you bless them and you let them know how special they are to us. And to all the ladies in our church who take care of us, from those who cook the meals, those that teach Sunday school, and all the ladies who take care of us and show us how much you love us. Father, you tell us in your scripture, for a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And this morning, we want to recognize all those ladies who love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
May we pray together. Dear Lord, on this beautiful Sabbath day, we come to you in prayer. On this great day that we have a chance to honor the mothers among us and the examples of strength and love that they have been in our lives, we begin to understand the strength and love that you provide for us, as well as the great blessings that you have given us through our mothers.
Lord, we pray for these mothers and all that they do in your name in fulfilling the strong callings of their lives and being ministers to others. We pray for them. Lord, we pray for these children, these beautiful children among us. We know that with your guidance, they will do great things in your name. Lord, thank you for these children and what they mean to us. Thank you also for the hope and the encouragement that these children give. Lord, we need this hope. We need this encouragement. We need these children as reminders of the great hope that we have in you. We need that hope and that encouragement, Lord, because we are weak. We have weak bodies, weak minds. Lord, as you know, we are battling. Some of us are battling health concerns and facing a difficult road. We need your strength. We need your presence that you have promised us so graciously. We grab hold of that promise, Lord. Lord, some of us are battling ourselves and our own personal weaknesses that we give into time after time and continue to sin, no matter how much it displeases us and no matter that we know it displeases you. Lord, help us to look to the example that you've given us. Help us to look to the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace that you've given us so that we may become the kind of servants that you would have us to be, that we will be able to honor your name and be witnesses for you and help teach others about the promise of your kingdom, the promise of eternal life that we hold so dear. Lord, help us to remember, to recall the strength of your love, the strength of the love of our mothers as we seek to remain steadfast in our faith, as we seek to hold close and hold true to the promises that you've given us, the calling that you have for our lives as we seek to serve you. Lord, as always, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for allowing us to come directly to you and speak to you in prayer, to honor you, to praise you, to bring ourselves before you humbly. It is in all that we have and all that we owe you that we say this prayer. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
May we pray? Lord, we thank you for this day where we can gather in your house and worship you. We thank you for the beautiful children that were brought this morning to be dedicated. We pray that you will guide their parents and that we will provide support and nurture for them and for the parents. We thank you for the blessing of children, for their enthusiasm and spontaneity, for the hope they give us for the future, for the opportunity to share our faith. We also are grateful for the opportunity to have a personal relationship with you and to know that you are with us in every circumstance. We pray that we will seek you out as a first resort, not as a last resort. We pray that you will take our offerings today and use them to reach others. We thank you for the support and encouragement we get from this church and from each other. Let us not take that lightly. Thank you for the gift of your Son. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
It's an exciting day. Mother's Day is always an exciting day. And if you've ever sat here with the children, it's a pure adrenaline rush. It really is. Beautiful children. It's a wonderful day. Mother's Day is such a special day. And as you heard the children, as Jeff was asking them what they had, if they had done anything for their mothers today, several of them said that they had given them a card or they had made them a card. I love to read Mother's Day cards. One of my favorite Mother's Day cards reads on the front, "Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." And you open it up and it reads on the inside, "God help you if you ever do that again." Moms, you can relate, can't you? I see ladies are nodding. Yeah, I've said that. I don't know if it's coincidence or whether it's very well planned on the part of CBS. But every year, I don't know if you've ever noticed, they always have the season finale of Survivor on Mother's Day. I mean, it is. It's coming on tonight. The season finale of Survivor is. And I understand that there have been some moms who have gotten together and pitched a plot line for next year's series, Survivor. It goes like this. 6 men will be dropped off on an island with 6 weeks to spend, 1 minivan and 4 kids each. Each kid must play at least 2 different sports and must take music or dance lessons. Each man has to care for all 4 kids, keep his assigned hut clean, do laundry, correct homework, and prepare 3 meals a day, plus snacks. Each man must attend at least 1 PTA meeting and 1 teacher conference every week and make a miniature Indian hut from 4 toothpicks, 2 paper clips, and a flour tortilla. The immunity challenge is this. They must make a 4-year-old eat an entire serving of green peas. The kids get to vote them off the island based on their performance, and the surviving winner gets to go back to his real job. Yeah. Taking care of children. What a blessing. But it is a challenge. But children are a precious gift from God. And I know that you know that. I know that we're all aware of that. And as we celebrate Mom's Day today, Mother's Day, I have a message, not just for mothers, but also for dads. But if you're not actively serving as a mom or a dad, that's okay. Stay with me. Don't check out, because the principles we're going to look at from God's Word actually apply to all of us. We're going to be reading from Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. We'll be reading both Psalms in their entirety. And for those of you that may want to panic, that's actually only 11 verses, so it's okay. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. I'll be referring to these. I won't read them in their entirety at the beginning. But I want us to draw several principles, if you will, principles for living and principles for parenting from these two psalms. The first principle is this. Dedicate your home to God. From the first verse of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. You see that slogan on the Mountain Outreach when we go up to Mountain Outreach every summer. You see that slogan, quote unquote, on the back of the Mountain Outreach shirts because it's a wonderful principle. Unless the Lord builds the house. See, we must dedicate our homes to God. And that sounds like a no-brainer. I mean, it really does. Of course, if we were to be asked, do we want to dedicate our homes to God? I think all of us would say, well, sure. Without hesitation. Without hesitation. But we need to stop and look at the reasons for that. See, God created the family. God designed the nature of the family. And if you really want to know about anything that has been designed, ask the designer. Ask for the blessing of the designer because he knows how it will best function. The building of a house, I think, in terms of a physical home, is a good illustration as far as it goes because a physical house must be built correctly. There must be attention to detail. In order for it to function properly, and to function safely, there must be a careful design. There must be purpose in design and maintenance of a house. In the same way, we must carefully design and maintain our homes. God must be the one who inspires and empowers the building effort of our families, of our homes. If you've ever had a chance to build or to remodel your home, you know that there are certain challenges associated with that. There are four principles that a builder told me. He said, if you're going to build a home or remodel a home, keep these four principles in mind. Number one, it's going to take more time than you planned. And that's the truth. Second, it will cost more than you figured. Third, it will be messier than you anticipated. And fourth, it will require more patience than you ever thought imaginable. And if those are principles that are involved in building a physical house, I think they're also applicable to us as we build our homes, as we build our families. Are you trying to build your home? Are you trying to build your family under your own strength? That's a question we as parents need to ask ourselves. If you are, you know that it is a terribly frustrating and an exhausting experience. It can't be done. If you try to build a physical house, I don't know if you've ever tried to do this yourself, but even if you know what you're doing, if you try to build a house by yourself, it can't be done. You have to have help. So even if you think you know what you're doing, it's almost an impossible endeavor. So we must take heed of verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its laborers or its builders labor in vain. Second of all, I think we need to trust God to provide for our family. Look in verse 2. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. I think the point of this verse, verse 2, is that God does not intend for us to work 24/7. He really doesn't. If we're going to build our families, we have to make them a priority as well. Children need our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, much more than they need our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. They need our time. Dennis, Vicky, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. That's how you spell love. There was a little boy who asked his dad, Dad, how much do you make? How much money do you make? And his father kind of hesitated. He goes, okay, how much money do you make an hour, Daddy? How much money do you make an hour? And his father kind of hesitated. He said, well, son, I'm not really paid by the hour. I'm on a salary. But I guess if I were to have to figure it out, I don't know. I'll say maybe based on 50-hour, 60-hour work week, I maybe make $20 an hour or so. I really don't know. The little boy go, huh, okay. He wandered off back toward the back. In a few minutes, he came plodding back with his little pajamas on, and he had his hands full of quarters. He said, Dad, I took the quarters from my piggy bank. There's $10. Will you give me a half hour, just me and you? Sometimes we need to refocus. We may need to take our calendar out this afternoon and look at it and take a good hard look at our schedules and say, are we really making our family a priority? I've heard many statements from people as they were getting ready to pass from this existence into eternity. They call them deathbed statements or deathbed confessions, whatever you want to call them. And I've heard many of them, but I can tell you one that I've never heard. I've never heard anyone say, wow, I just wish I'd spent more time at the office. Never heard that one. Trust God to provide for our families. Spend time. Third, we need to recognize children as God's blessing. In verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 127, we read these a little earlier in the service, but we'll read them again. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Recognize children as God's blessing. Now, if you're a parent of a teenager, you have to remind yourself more often that they are a blessing than these parents as they stood here. Because when they're young, they're so sweet, it's so easy to see them as a blessing. But they're always a blessing. Even as teenagers, even as grown adults, your children are still a blessing to you. Our society, unfortunately, doesn't share our value. Sometimes children are seen as a hindrance to getting on with my life. Sometimes children are seen as just downright detrimental. They're a burden. But we know that raising children is not easy. Sometimes it's difficult to keep up with our children. Sometimes it's difficult for our children to keep up with their parents. It's a difficult, but it's a very blessed endeavor that we take on. The Bible doesn't say specifically how many children we should have. That's between the parents and God, but children are a blessing, every single one of them. And that's something that we as parents need to remind ourselves. And we need, as we approach our Father in prayer, we need to thank God for our children. Fourth, I think we need to prepare our children to make a difference. If you'll look in verse 4 and 5 again, I want to repeat those. It says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Now, what are the purpose of arrows? It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. What is the purpose of an arrow? Arrow. Pronounce it with me. Arrow. What are the purpose of an arrow? Warriors shoot them. Arrows are made to fly, right? They're made to fly. Remember the saying, give your children roots and what? Wings. Give your children roots and wings. There's a wonderful song in Christian radio now by Mark Harris, the fellow who used to be with the group For Him. It's a song called Give Them Wings. If you're a parent and you can listen to that with a dry eye, you must be focusing on something else. It's a beautiful text. Give your children roots and wings. You raise your children up so that one day you can launch them out, metaphorically speaking, so that you can launch them out. See, if our children are to make a positive difference, we have to teach them. We have to make sure that they're aimed properly. And in order to do that, there has to be defensive measures and there has to be offensive measures. Not offensive. Offensive measures. Okay? In teaching them to make a difference, we need to teach them to be defensive. We need to teach them to watch out. To watch out for the things that would hurt them. We need to teach them to stay away from the things that would lead them into trouble. We have to teach them what things to avoid. But we also need to teach our children to play offense. Teach them how to make a difference for the kingdom of God. How to share their faith in Jesus Christ. But the whole time they're on offense, they're also on defense. And vice versa. I liken it to a quarterback on a football field. You see, as a quarterback receives the snap from center, he perhaps rolls right looking to complete a pass, which is a pass of offense, correct? He wants to generate offense. That's his goal. But the whole time he is trying to generate offense, his eyes and his ears are scanning the field, looking and beware of those who would seek to dismember him. So he's on offense, but he's also on defense. And that's the way we have to train our children. Teach them to be on the lookout for Satan's traps, for the snares, the subtle things as well as the blatant things that would ensnare them. That's being on defensive. But we also have to bless them. Bless them as they are trying to make an impact on the world, trying to make an impact on their schools and their friends and the families of their friends, trying to count for something in God's kingdom. The fifth principle is that we need to model godliness in our families. Moving on to Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. We need to model for our families true happiness. And the fact that true happiness and true fulfillment come only from a life of following Christ. There are billions. Read the newspaper, watch TV for a little while, and it's very apparent that there are millions and billions of people who are seeking to fill that God-sized void in their life with anything and everything other than God. And we have to model for our children by what we say and by what we do that a life with Christ is the only thing that will give us true happiness and fulfillment. They have to see it with their own eyes. They have to hear it with their ears. They have to see it played out daily before them if they're going to understand what it means to be godly in your lifestyle. Model that, parents, for your family. In verse 2 through 6 of Psalm 128, let's read that. We can find our sixth principle, which is to rejoice in God's blessing. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Rejoice in God's blessing. Husbands, fathers, your wife is a fruitful vine not only in childbearing, but also in all areas of your home life. Bless them. Let your children see you blessing your wife. It's a wonderful model for them. Parents, understand your children are olive shoots. Figuratively speaking, they are plants that will bear fruit themselves. So as we teach them, they will teach. With the blessing of children, we should always live with a proper fear, as the psalmist says, a proper respect, a proper awe of God. Teach them to walk in His ways, that you may see your children's children. And peace be upon Israel. I challenge you, parents. I challenge all of us. Once a week, this 11 verses, Psalm 127 and 128. Once a week, read these two psalms back to back. And see if it doesn't make a difference in how you approach parenting and how you approach life. That's our challenge this morning. And I think if we'll do that, if we'll dedicate our homes to God, then He will bless us as we seek to bless our children. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank You for these principles from Your Word. Challenge our hearts. Convict us. Father, help us to experience a new commitment, not only to just raising our children in the way that You've prescribed, but Father, in supporting each other as we struggle together, being a part of Your body, and at the same time, trying to raise children. Father, we know that You've placed us together as a fellowship of believers so that we can help one another. And just as we've covenanted together with these parents this morning, Father, help us to renew that commitment and that covenant with all families, with all individuals within this large family, family that You've placed together to worship together and to encourage one another. Challenge us to live in such a way that we model Christ-like behavior for all children, not just the small children, but children of all ages. That we would model Christ-like behavior so that people that we work with would come to know Christ as a result of our actions and our words. And Father, we'll give You all the praise and the glory. All of God's people said, Amen. Perhaps you would like to respond to what you've heard this morning. If you would like to accept Jesus Christ, we want to always give that invitation. Perhaps you would like to recommit yourself. Maybe as a parent, you want to recommit yourself to being the kind of parent that you know that God wants you to be. Maybe if your children are grown, you want to commit yourself to helping and assisting young parents as they struggle. If you're not a parent, maybe you want to just commit yourself to living the kind of lifestyle that would model Christ for other people. If you're a family or an individual that would look to join a church and you would feel like maybe College Park is just the place where you would like to be, we receive members by many ways, and we'd be glad to talk with you about all of those ways. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Let me remind you, we have some materials out at the Information Center if you'd like to pick them up. It's a companion guide to the movie The Da Vinci Code, which releases this Friday. Some of you have asked about these materials. Many of you came Friday night. We appreciate you being here. If you were not able to be here for that training time, we will have a DVD in the library by Wednesday night of that session. And take all of these materials that you would like to pass out to friends and be an encouragement to people to understand the truth, okay? Let's close in a word of prayer together. Dear Father, we thank you for this special day, an opportunity to worship you, an opportunity to celebrate new life. Father, help us to be responsible, not only to worship you in spirit and in truth and with all that we say and do, but Father, also to encourage one another. And it's with that spirit that we leave from this place, accepting your guidance and your peace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.